Well, good morning again, everyone. It is a privilege for us as well to be with you and to talk about the missions work in New Guinea and now also to bring God's word to you from the scriptures. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, our text this morning will be the first three verses. The title for the message this morning is New Missionaries. New Missionaries. As we consider this topic of new missionaries being taken on, being sent out, possibly the best passage we could turn to in Scripture to see this example is here in Acts 16, 1 through 3. Just a few previous chapters, in Acts chapter 13, we see the first missionary team sent out of Paul and Barnabas. But when we think of new missionaries being taken on, Acts 16, 1 through 3 gives us a great example. So follow along as I read these first three verses. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And we'll stop there. Let's begin with a word of prayer again. Father, please bless your word to us. We believe and we know that this is indeed your living and powerful word, given to us by you through your Spirit. And so please send your Spirit to speak to us from the Scriptures here in this passage, that we would be convicted of the need of new missionaries being sent out and taken on to go to areas in the world where the gospel still has not gone. So help me to speak and to preach your word, and that together as your people we would believe your word and obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to challenge you as a church to take a big step. There's many sermons that we hear that are theological and doctrinal in nature. This sermon will be focusing on a very practical issue. This text that I just read has to do with, as we've seen, the taking on of a new missionary. But not much is said in local churches around our country on the topic and this issue of taking on and sending out new missionaries to do specifically pioneer gospel work. Not much is said. Why? Well, I want to suggest three main reasons. There are others, but I want to suggest three main reasons why this topic of new missionaries being sent out, taken on from local churches to do pioneer gospel ministry is not spoken of. First, most people consider modern missions to be in the areas specifically or primarily in medicine or support work or education or construction, etc., and not as evangelizing the world through the preaching of the gospel the way the New Testament portrays it. That's one reason. Another reason, many churches in our culture, in our country, have an inward focus and think only or primarily of themselves or their area. And another possible reason that I've considered and thought of myself is that many local churches do not consider this topic of taking on and sending out new missionaries as relating to their realm or responsibility, but specifically to schools. So those are three possible reasons why new missionaries in this topic is not spoken of often. The mission of Jesus' local churches is missions. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, or it put that way. Your mission is to be involved directly and to participate directly in advancing the message of the gospel to areas in the world where the gospel has never yet gone before in history. So, how do we do this in our generation? How does your church do this in 2019? This is why the issue of new missionaries is vitally relevant for today. We're going to ask and answer six questions from our text this morning, and I'm going to give a quick overview here. Question one, should new missionaries be taken on? Second question, who takes on new missionaries? Thirdly, from where are new missionaries taken on, or who sends out new missionaries? Fourth, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? Fifth, what are new missionaries taken on to do? And then finally, sixth, why should new missionaries be taken on? And I'm going to conclude with that with some general remarks on why new missionaries should be taken on. So let's begin. Question number one. Should new missionaries be taken on? Now, it seems pretty obvious, but not everyone, not every professing Christian, especially in our culture, would agree with the answer. From what we see in Scripture, the simple, direct answer is yes. New missionaries should be taken on 2,000 years ago when Paul went and took on Timothy, all the way till 2019, and until the end comes. Luke 10:1-2, Jesus took on new missionaries, or sent out evangelists. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, Luke 10:1-2, and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. So Jesus took on new missionaries, if we could use that phrase. Jesus himself was an evangelist doing this ministry and work. Jesus says in John 20:21, as the Father sent me, I send you. So Jesus clearly stated him sending out new missionaries to do this work. And I understand that the word missionary is very general and generic, but that's the term that we use nowadays, so that's the term I'm using as I preach here. New missionaries or evangelists were taken on throughout the book of Acts to do this missionary work, or the work of the Great Commission, beginning with Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, and then here in Acts 16, and all throughout the book of Acts, we see new missionaries and missionary teams being sent on or taken on and sent out. William Carey, a few hundred years ago, had to fight for this very issue. Should new missionaries be taken on and sent out? Most in his generation said, no, that's ridiculous. We don't need to do that. William Carey had to point them to the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and say, yes, this applies for today. And we say the same thing in 2019 based on the authority of God's word. New missionaries should be taken on and sent out to do pioneer gospel evangelism. Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples, not just of America, but of every nation, of all the people groups, not just the ones we have gone to, but to the ones we haven't gone to. There should be no debate. New missionaries should be taken on and sent out in our generation. And not just missions in the generic, general, basic sense that most Christians talk of in America today, but specifically, as I'm going to emphasize and focus on this morning, to do pioneer gospel evangelism to areas where the gospel has never gone. Preaching the gospel to the unevangelized in the world is so important, we must take on and send out new missionaries. And I hope this morning I can put you in the shoes of many in the world who have never heard the gospel. We often take for granted the great privilege to sit in a pew in America and to hear the gospel. Now, I know there's many quote-unquote churches in America that are not preaching the gospel. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about churches like yours who hear the gospel, who have believed the gospel. And there are people on planet Earth who have never, ever experienced that in history. New missionaries must be taken on to preach the gospel to them. So, what should our response to this be? I want to challenge you this morning to be part of new missionaries being taken on and sent out to new areas in the world where the gospel still is not gone. Question two, who takes on new missionaries? Look with me again at our text here. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy. And we see here in the context and then throughout the rest of the book of Acts, Paul taking on Timothy as a co-worker. Paul, as the current missionary, took Timothy on as a new missionary. Current missionaries see the gospel and the evangelistic need the most because they're on the front lines like Paul. See, Paul was involved in the work. He was doing the work. He had gone to cities, into towns, into areas where the gospel had never gone, where the gospel wasn't being preached, where it never had been preached. Paul had seen the need. He was there. He was on the front lines. And so he was able to take on Timothy as a new missionary. He had the conviction. He had the burden because he had done it. He had been there. And so as a current missionary, he took on Timothy as a new missionary. Current missionaries are also already on the ground, like Paul was, and are able more than others to take on a new missionary and get them up and running, like we see here in the context with Paul and Timothy in Acts 16, and then throughout the rest of the book of Acts. Paul was there. He was doing the work of an evangelist, doing the work of a missionary, preaching the gospel to the unevangelized. And it was easy for Paul to get a new missionary up and running. So who should take on new missionaries? Current missionaries. And that's one of our desires. That's one of our goals. That's one of our prayers, that we would be able to take on a new missionary to help in the work of the gospel in Mocha, where we are, or possibly a new place where the gospel hasn't gone. So what should our response to this be? One of our main goals. And again, keep in mind the emphasis this morning is missions, is pioneer evangelism. We're not talking about other things this morning. It's specifically this issue, this topic. And one of your main goals as a church should see new missionaries being taken on. And one of our main goals as current missionaries is to take on new missionaries. Question number three, from where are new missionaries taken on? Or who sends out new missionaries? Look at our text, Acts 16, 1 through 3. Where does Paul go to take on a new missionary? Paul doesn't, let me put it in the negative first, Paul doesn't go to the school. He doesn't go to the institution or the organization, but to the local church where he takes on a new missionary. That's very relevant for today because most new missionaries that are taken on from those places, the schools, the institutions, the organizations. Not that those are necessarily wrong, but a new missionary must begin in the local church. That's the point. That's the emphasis of the New Testament. And a new missionary or a current missionary doing the work of missions outside the local church is unbiblical. Acts 13, 2 through 3. You can listen as I read. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Where did the Holy Spirit call the first missionary team? Or from where? From the local church. The Holy Spirit didn't go to the school or the organization and say, "I have a work for these people to do." No. The Holy Spirit went to his church, to the local church, and the first missionary team came from within the context of the local church. And it says in that passage in Acts 13, "Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." That's exactly what our home church did to us. When a new missionary is sent out, that is the way it should be done, through the local church. So here in question number three, from where are new missionaries taken on? Or who sends them out? The local church does. We see that in the scriptures. Seminaries and Bible schools, missionary training schools, etc., are not the biblical model from where missionaries come from. Now, does that mean they're bad? No, I'm not necessarily saying that. The point is clear, though. New missionaries must come from within the context of the local church. New missionaries and evangelists in the New Testament, such as Barnabas and Silas and John Mark, even Priscilla and Aquila, as a couple, they came from within the local church. They were sent out from the local church. So what should your response be as a local church? One of your main goals as Living Word Bible Church here in Morris, Illinois, one of your main goals should be to pray about this. Holy Spirit, set apart from within our congregation, from within our church, a new missionary, a couple we can send out to do this work. Now it begins, as we saw in Acts 13, with fasting and praying. I hope I can encourage you and challenge you from what we see in the scriptures to start there. Don't just tomorrow say, okay, let's send out a new missionary and just, you know, randomly pick someone. No, begin by fasting and praying. But make it one of your goals. Make it a main priority within your local church, for your local church. And as you gather together in your homes and as families and during your prayer meetings and your times of worship, consider this. Talk about it. Pray about it. And fast about it. Question number 4. What kind of new missionaries should be taken on? Look again at this context here in Acts 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman, who was a believer. His father was a Greek. Verse 2, what does it say here? Timothy was well spoken of by the brothers. What does that mean? Well, simply means Timothy had a good reputation in church. Timothy had a good testimony within his local church. Question number 4, what kind of new missionaries are taken on? The best men or the best couples. We see that here with Timothy. Paul takes on Timothy as a new missionary. One main reason, because he had a good reputation in the church. Timothy had a good testimony. And that was certainly one main reason. That's the only reason, actually, it's given here in Acts 16 of why Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary. One main reason Timothy was qualified to be a missionary or an evangelist was because of his good testimony. What about those in your church? A man with a good testimony, a couple with a good testimony, spoken well of among you. Who do you as a church speak often about that has a good testimony? A man that's bold, a couple that's godly, a couple that could do this work, a man that's preaching the gospel boldly out in the public already. Who's that couple in your church? Who's that man in your church? Timothy was that guy. And as Paul visited that church, just like I'm visiting your church today, Paul recognized, wait, what about Timothy? Paul was asking around possibly within the church, what about Timothy? What's up with him? Or maybe the church recommended Timothy to Paul. And they said, oh, Paul, listen, we want you to have a co-worker. We want someone to work with you and help you in your pioneer evangelistic work of seeing the gospel go to new areas. We got the guy for you. And they suggested and recommended Timothy. However it happened, it did happen. And Timothy was one of the best to do this work. And I mentioned couples to encourage you in your church, your couples in the church, the married couples in the church, because we see the example of Priscilla and Aquila in the New Testament and in the book of Acts doing missions work. So which couple here? Couples have good testimony to do this type of ministry that the Lord has called us to continue the work of advancing the gospel in our generation, to see all people groups reached, so that all people groups would hear the gospel and believe and be saved, and Christ would build his church among all the peoples. We have the tendency, and this is a very broad statement throughout the world, we have the tendency as Christians to continue to go to the same places. Well, let's start a new church in Chicago or in London or in Shanghai, or we continue to go to the same places. Not always, but usually. I want to challenge you to go to the new places. Where has the gospel not gone? Send your best man there. Send your best couple there. Where is the gospel not being preached today? Where are areas in the world where there are no Christians today? Where there have never been Christians? Send your best man there. Send your best couple there. That's the challenge this morning. The work of missionaries preaching the gospel to the unevangelized is so important, we need to send our best to do it. When it comes to work, when it comes to the military, when it comes to politics, we don't do this of, you know, let's just send whoever, anybody could get the job done. We don't do that, right? You know, think of where you work and think of the things that are done in our culture. The best are always sent to do the work. The gospel being preached to the unevangelized is so important. We need to send our best to do it. So which men here in this congregation, in this church, men are godly, men who are bold, men who are preaching the gospel already on the streets, in public, who have the gift of evangelism? Consider sending your best to do this work. Isn't it worth it to send our best for the sake of the gospel? You know, a lot of times, churches think, well, let's save the best for ourselves. We'll send our best to the seminaries, and then we'll keep them as pastors in America. Well, what about the rest of the world? You know, one of the things the Lord has really burdened me with is the last thing America needs is another preacher. I mean, if there's any place on planet Earth, any country that has good seminaries, good churches, it's America. Now, yes, we all understand there's a lot of evil and wickedness and bad churches. We're not talking about that. There are many good schools in America training men to be preachers and many godly churches that are preaching the gospel and training men to be in a ministry. But the last thing America needs is just another man preaching here. What about the areas where the men aren't preaching? And even you young guys here and you young couples here, consider the work of the gospel to an area where the gospel has never gone. And as a church, consider sending your best couples and men to do it. So, let's continue here. Question number 5. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now here, in these 3 verses that we read, we don't see this directly, but we see it indirectly. And we clearly see it throughout the rest of the book of Acts and the New Testament as well. What are new missionaries taken on to do? Now, I talked about this a little this morning in the report of our work in New Guinea. If we asked every professing Christian in America, what's a missionary? What is mission? We would get a million answers. But if we ask the question, what is a missionary? What does a missionary do from the book of Acts? It's pretty clear. The question is, what are new missionaries taken on to do? And the answer is, preach the gospel. Now, we don't see this here directly. We certainly see it indirectly, though. Paul took Timothy on as a new missionary to accompany him in evangelistic gospel preaching. In the New Testament, and let me mention this here. In the New Testament, Paul tells Timothy to preach the word. He tells him to do the work of an evangelist. And Paul also refers to Timothy as a co-worker doing the same work. It's clear Paul took on Timothy as a new missionary to do that work that Paul was doing of evangelistic gospel preaching. Not specifically to preach behind a pulpit to a church. That's the work of a pastor and an elder. There is a clear work for that. That is a biblical work. But the work that Paul took Timothy onto was to do evangelistic gospel preaching, what we call missions. It's clear from Acts and the missions theme of the New Testament that new missionaries were taken on to do that. We don't have to read outside the book of Acts to see that. All of the missionaries, the evangelists, the missionary teams of the New Testament were taken on to do this work primarily. Yes, there's some exceptions, but that's the main thrust. That's the main point. What are new missionaries taken on to do is to be gospel preachers. Which men here are gifted to preach the gospel? Which young men here possibly have a gift to preach the gospel? And wives, you might be thinking, well, you know, so what about us? Wives and women here, encourage the men to preach the gospel. Encourage your husband to possibly do this work if you see God has gifted him to do this work. There's 2 things I've recognized. When it comes to the singles, it's usually the women who want to do it. And you young men here, high schoolers, college kids, you men who are young, I want to encourage you and challenge you to consider the work of missions. Because when I see singles, whether at a high school, college, or in their 30s or 40s even, the majority of single men have no interest in the Great Commission. Why is that? That's my experience, and I've talked to many. When it comes to couples, married couples, it's the exact opposite. That's my experience, and my wife would testify to this as well. Most married couples, it's the men, if there's an interest, it's the men who are interested, and the wives discourage it. And I want to challenge you wives here to encourage your husband to possibly do this. I'm not saying that you must pray about it as a church. Consider this as a church. And wives, it begins with you. One of the areas it begins is you encouraging your husband to possibly do this work. Do you see your husband has a gift to do evangelism, to boldly proclaim the gospel, to go to an area in the world where the gospel isn't being preached? Don't discourage him. Don't say, oh, that's something we could never do. I would never take my kids there. For the sake of the gospel, it's worth it. What are we going to do when we stand before the Lord and say, well, you know, we knew the work of the Great Commission. We knew the work of local evangelism. We knew the work of the local church, but it was too risky, so we didn't do it. It was too difficult, so we didn't do it. I don't want those excuses on the last day, and I don't want those excuses for you either. So whether you're single, whether you're couples, consider these challenges from what we see here in the book of Acts, and specifically this topic of new missionaries being taken on and sent out. So a new missionary is taken on to do what? To preach the gospel. Let me just read a few texts here. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. They went throughout the villages preaching the gospel. Luke 9:6. They preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. Acts 14:21. God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Acts 16:10. The one I've read already in Romans 15:20. I made it my goal to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named. Then in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ sent me, Paul says, to preach the gospel. And one final reference, 2 Corinthians 2:12. I came to Troas to preach the gospel. As a missionary, Paul is saying that. As a pioneer evangelist, whatever term you'd like to use, Paul is writing these things under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. New missionaries are taken on and sent out to do what? To preach the gospel. Sadly, most missionaries in our day and age are not sent out to preach the gospel, and that should not be. Beginning with John the Baptist, then to Jesus, all the disciples, all the apostles, all the evangelists, they had one primary activity, and that was to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection. New missionaries must be taken on in 2019 to do the same, and then in 2020 to do the same, and in 2021 to do the same, until Jesus returns and all the nations have been reached and all the people groups have been evangelized. We evangelize through the preaching of the gospel. We tell the message of the gospel to your spouse, who might not be a believer, to your coworker, to your neighbor, and to the remote people in the jungles of Mocha, or the people in the Middle East, or in the Amazon, or in China, or in Africa, those who remain unevangelized. How will they be saved? Through the preaching of the gospel from men like you. God's word directs God's people to do good works. True? God's word clearly tells us as Christians to do good works, to help the homeless. I commend you as a church. I just found out about today that you help the homeless here. To feed the homeless, to have orphanages, to hand out clothes, to hand out water when people need it, to do whatever good works we can do to help other human beings. Christians, of more than anyone else, should be doing those good works. But the mission of Jesus' church is to announce the message of the gospel to the nations. That's the mission. That's the work of the Great Commission. That's the work of missions. And it doesn't stop until we've reached all people groups. So yeah, we could sit back like people in William Carey's time and say, the Lord's going to take care of that, and just continue to sit in our pews and sit in America and never reach the nations. We could do that. But it's such a loss. Just think, just pray, just imagine if the Lord would use us, would use you as a church to send out a young man, an old man, a couple, two couples, to reach unevangelized people in this world by sending them out to preach the message of the gospel. And when I say preaching the gospel, we preach that the gospel is exclusive. You know, there's a lot of nonsense that's going on around the world when it goes under the name of Christianity. We preach the exclusivity of the gospel. There's only one way of salvation. That's what a missionary is supposed to preach. We don't go into an area and say, well, let's just mix your stuff with our stuff and we'll call it a day and we'll all go to heaven. That's not the gospel. Acts 4, verse 12, there's only one name. We must preach repentance. And sadly, repentance is not preached from the mouths of many missionaries around the world. So if you're going to send a man, if you're going to send a couple to do this, send a man who's going to preach the gospel being exclusive, who's going to preach about repentance. A new missionary must preach the sovereignty of God in salvation. I don't go to Mocha to try to convince the people to be saved or try to make them Christians. There's a lot of that going on around the world. There's a lot of that going on in New Guinea, where they go in, where a quote-unquote missionary goes into an area and just says, oh, join our group, take our name, put your name in a book, we'll put you underwater, and we'll call it a day, and you're part of our group now. That's ridiculous. A new missionary must preach the sovereignty of God in salvation. Only the Lord can save. We are simply the messengers. We are simply the ambassadors. And we preach the sovereignty of God in salvation. A new missionary needs to be taken on to preach about the doctrine of hell. That's not preached on a lot. And I was encouraged to see downstairs a pamphlet on the doctrine of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a place that people are going to today. In this very community, in this very nation, in this world. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands are being poured into hell day after day. That is a reason to do missions. That's a reason to go to a place like Mocha. Just think of it. For thousands of years, ever since the flood, ever since the Tower of Babel, whenever the people got there, however many thousands of years ago it was, but after that, when they did arrive there, ever since then, every single individual who was ever born in the village of Mocha has gone to hell. That's a reason to do missions. That's a reason to send out a man from your church to go preach the gospel. And a new missionary needs to preach on hell. I preach on a lot in Mocha, warning the people of the terrors to come if they remain unrepentant. And for those of you in this room who are unrepentant, the same is true for you. I'm not preaching evangelistically to you, but here's a good point. Those of you in this room who are not Christians, young or old, doesn't matter. If you are not a Christian, you will end up in hell as well. New missionaries must preach imputation. And I quoted from 2 Corinthians 5:21 this morning, that in Christ we can be made righteous. He takes on our sin, and we take on his righteousness. We must preach propitiation. Romans chapter 3, we see this throughout the New Testament, throughout the Scriptures. We must preach the resurrection as the climax of the gospel. And we certainly need to also preach on discipleship. A Christian is not someone who just prays a prayer, signs a card, gets put into water. We see that all throughout New Guinea. We see that around America as well. A Christian is someone who is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's part of the gospel message. So when taking on a new missionary, what's more important than preaching the gospel? Yes, we could do other things, and we do. We help the people medically. I talked about that. We're making an airstrip, and Melissa helps with the babies, and we do other things. Christians should do good works. But the main reason is to preach the message of the gospel. What's more important? Well, you know, what could we put on a list that's above that? Let's send a missionary to do that because that's better. Nothing could supersede that. Nothing could rise above the preaching of the gospel when we think of missions. So what should your response be to this? Be part of taking on a new missionary and sending out a new missionary to do this work of preaching the gospel. Pray about it, fast about it, and then send out a man. Send out a couple to go preach the gospel where the gospel is not being preached today. Let's move on to our final point. Why should a new missionary be taken on? And here are just some general remarks from the Scriptures. Because Jesus told us to. You know, people ask me, how'd you get involved in missions? Why are you doing missions? Why would you bring your family here and do all this? You know, I could give many reasons. But one main reason I give is because Jesus said to. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel in Mark 16. Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. He didn't say just do it in your own country or just your own community. He said go to all the nations. To me, that was good enough. You know, I'll just obey what he said. And so I want to encourage you, why should you do this? Jesus says so. Another reason, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Luke 10. Jesus recognized there's a lot of work to be done, but there's not a lot of people to do it. So be a different church. Be a church that says, you know what? There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do locally. Of course, do it. There's a lot of work to be done globally. Do it. Pray, as Jesus said, that the Lord from your congregation, from your church, would raise up a man, a couple, to go do this work. Another reason, so that the unevangelized would hear the gospel and believe. This is Paul's argument in Romans chapter 10. The unbelievers cannot believe the gospel unless you go tell them. That's the argument. That's clear. God doesn't just make people Christians without sending a missionary. He doesn't do it that way. God uses means. The only way that people in Mocha are going to be saved and believe the gospel and be part of a local church here and be baptized into God's kingdom, into Christ's body, is because we have gone to tell them the gospel. That's the only way. They're not going to be Christians before that. They can't. And that applies to your unsaved family members and to your coworkers and to your community here as well. But the emphasis this morning is on those nations, those people groups who have never heard the gospel. How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe? You must go to them. That's the only way. So again, as a church, send your best man to do that. Send your best couple to do that. Wives and mothers and women, pray to this end. Make goals and preparations to this end. Another reason, because Christ needs to save his people. Right? Christ has his people out there. He needs to save them. He's not going to them. Why? He's in heaven. He said, as the Father sent me, I send you. John 10, verse 16, Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is doing the work of missions. Jesus is calling his people to himself, but he calls them through your voice. And the people in this world that have never heard the gospel, that today are not hearing the gospel, they can't go to a local church because there are none. There's no Christian churches. They can't turn on the radio to hear the gospel on radio. They don't have radios. They can't watch a preacher on TV. Most of them aren't good anyway, but they don't have TVs. They can't hear the voice of Christ, unless you go to them. One final reason, to continue the advance of the gospel in our generation until all the places and the peoples of the world are evangelized and Jesus returns. And Jesus says this in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, shall be proclaimed throughout the entire world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. This work won't be done until we finish the job. So these are some good reasons from the Bible, from God's Word, why you as a church in Morris, Illinois, should directly participate in seeing the gospel advance. Is this the only thing you should do as a church? No. Yeah, I'm not saying that. But that's the focus of the message this morning. So in conclusion, we looked at six main points. Should new missionaries be taken on? Yes. Who takes them on? Current missionaries. From where are they taken on, or who sends them out? The local church does. What kind of new missionaries are taken on? Your best men, your best couples. Fifth, what are they taken on to do? To preach the gospel. Sixth, why should they be taken on? And I just gave a few reasons. So if the gospel has transformed your life, ask yourself that. Has it? Has the gospel transformed my life? Has the gospel made me a new creation in Jesus Christ? Has it changed the way I think? Has it changed my goals in life? Has it changed my passions? Has it changed everything about you because you're a church that has been transformed by the gospel? Then one of your main goals, one of them, your mission, will be to get this gospel to all the peoples and the places of this world. Now, you as a church, And we as a family can't reach all of them. We're just going to one. Maybe your church could send a family to another. Maybe you could send two couples to two. But that's how it gets done, by directly participating in this work. So the goal of recruiting new missionaries is not about getting more members to a club or joining a social group or a large missions organization. That's the goal of a lot of people. Well, let's just make our mission organization big so we have a nice name around the world. That's not the point. And it's not to do a short-term global adventure trip. You know, a lot of high schoolers think of it that way, and college kids think of it that way. You high schoolers, you college kids here in this room, have expectations higher than that. Have dreams higher than that, to see Jesus Christ known in areas where the gospel has never gone, not just to do a short-term adventure trip. It's not about seeing the world and becoming more well-rounded in geography or travel or becoming more multicultural or bilingual. That's not the point. Now, that is the point for some people, but I hope I can challenge you from what we see in the scriptures about the Great Commission, about missions. Those things are not the reasons why we recruit new missionaries or why your church should send out new missionaries. The goal of recruiting a new missionary is about the gospel being proclaimed to all of the nations in this world, to all of the people groups in this world, so that Jesus will build his full church and bring all of his people in, so that he will return to usher in the new creation. That's the point of missions. I want to see the end come. I want to see Christ return, but he won't until the gospel has gone to the world. I want to see the new creation come. I want to be in the new creation, and you do too as a Christian. But we must finish the work he has given to us first. And listen to this as I close up here in a minute. If every biblically based gospel-centered church in America alone, I'm not talking about the other countries, America alone, if every good church, not talking about all the other ones, but if every good church sent out one couple, their best couple, to do this work of the Great Commission, to go to a new area in the world where the gospel has never gone, the work of missions would be done in our generation. So why hasn't it been done? Practically, humanly speaking, it has not been done because we are not doing it. So that's the challenge for you as a church this morning. Let us take on and send out new missionaries so the work can be accomplished for the kingdom. There's no greater endeavor than to do gospel kingdom work, right? Whether it's locally, which I commend you for doing, and you can need to continue to do that, whether it's in your own communities or families or workplaces, gospel kingdom work, there's no greater work. There's no greater endeavor. There's no greater pursuit. It's not about our fame, our careers, our jobs, our schools. It's not about those things. What's the greatest work we could do is gospel kingdom work. And the emphasis, the focus this morning was to do it to people groups and language groups in this world that have never heard the gospel before. So is Jesus your one singular passion? Is his gospel your one singular passion, as it was for the early church? Then intentionally participate in a new missionary being taken on from your church to go and proclaim the gospel to a new area in the world where it has not yet been announced. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. Your word is true. Your word is powerful, and you've given us many insights and examples and commands in your word. And Father, as it relates to this topic of new missionaries being sent on and taken, sent out and taken on, we ask that you would be pleased to use us in this work, to send us to do this work. And I pray specifically for this church here in Morris, that you would give them this passion, give them this desire, that as they read your word, they would have this conviction and this burden to see the world saved and your people brought in and your kingdom advance, and that you'd give them a desire and a burden to pray about it and to fast about it, And that, Father, if it's your goodwill and if it's your pleasure and your purpose, that even from this own congregation here, you'd be pleased to send out a new missionary for the sake of Christ and his gospel. We pray in his name. Amen.